All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Tim. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. Okay, we're ready for the home stretch here, guys. I know you guys are tired of listening to me. I know I'm tired of listening to me. That's for sure. But a couple things before I get into the 12th step here. First of all, I love these things, and I was telling a group of guys the other day, I mean, the wonderful part about Alcoholics Anonymous, you show up at a place like this, you know, and you leave with intimate friends, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the bond is so quick and so immediate, and then I'm always sad sometimes going home to airplanes and I'm going to never see these guys again. And so to that end, one of the things we've been talking about is I hope a lot of you are planning on going to the International in San Antonio next July. And if you are, I'm going to leave my email address and phone number with you, Chris, maybe. And I don't know how you could get this out, but I'd love to stay in contact with any of you who want to by email. And, you know, it's one of the great things about that today is, you know, it really makes the world so much smaller. And I mean, I got email, you know, conversations going on with people, you know, over United States and Canada and Hawaii and different places that I've met along the way. And it's so easy. And, you know, I'm staring, looking at my computer all day anyway when I'm at work. So if you'd want to do that, I'd love to have you, email back and forth and stay in touch. And if you're going to San Antonio, you know, it's got my cell number on it, my email number. I'd love to hook up with some of you guys when they're there because, that's what really makes that fun. If you've never been to an international, it's something you really need to treat yourself to. It's, something to behold when you see 60,000 people, all in there holding hands saying the Our Father one at a time. I mean, it's pretty powerful stuff. And those of you who have been there know what I'm talking about if you were in Toronto or if you were in, Minneapolis or any of them before that. So, you know, really, I hope that, you know, you'll take me up on that and do that. Hopefully our paths will cross again. You know, somebody at the break was talking about the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and what an incredible book it's turned out to be. And, when I was in Ottawa a couple of weeks ago, there was a lady who spoke with me, very interesting lady. First time I've met her, name's Lorna. I don't know her last name, but she was one of the speakers and from New York. I don't know if you've heard her along the way. She's got an English accent and, but she's from New York and, she's a very interesting person. She works as an auctioneer at Sotheby's in New York City, which is, if you know about that, that's a big time auction place and they do the big time auctions. And she was telling this story about, as it turned out several years back or a while back, they had the occasion to auction off the original manuscript or one of the original first editions of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And just like they do everything else, a lot of people showed up and, you know, they auctioned it off. And I think it went for, you know, a couple million dollars, the guy who actually bought the original manuscript. And the funny part she was saying is that she was there and obviously that she wasn't the auctioneer that day. This other guy was. And so they auctioned it off and this guy who had no idea what he was doing, when the book sold for the $2 million, he turned around to her and said, "Who is this guy anyway? Did he write anything else?" And she said, "No, that, you know, that's pretty much was the main book." And, you know, I say that because sometimes as I started off the thing, we take for granted, you know, that book and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous have had a profound effect on, geez, how many things. I mean, how it spread not only to, you know, AA and you've got Al-Anon and, you know, CA and just on down the line and the spiritual process that was suggested that we've talked about this weekend. I mean, obviously it works for us because it saves our lives and we need it to stay alive, but certainly other people are using what he wrote, and it's made the world a better place to live in, and that's for sure. And, you know, while I'm on that point, too, we talked a lot last night, or I've talked with some guys afterwards about Al-Anon. And I just want to say, you know, a lot of parts of the country and down in the U.S., I mean, it's kind of like Al-Anon and AA are, you know, at war or opposite sides of the deal. And, I just think that's unfortunate because I'm a big Al-Anon guy. You know, I mean, I guess based on my own experience and having seen how sick the people that are around us get, you know, that part of our program is so crucial. And, you know, some of the things that they emphasize in Al-Anon, especially detachment, detaching with love, has been such a item in my own life. We were talking about last night, some of you got situations going of detaching from loved ones who are in sick and unhealthy, you know, conditions. And actually, when my daughter was going through what she was going through, I was driven to Al-Anon. We have a men's Al-Anon group in Louisville, and I spent some time there. And I don't do it on a regular basis, but I absolutely am supportive of it 100%. And you know, down in Texas, I'm going down there next month. I don't know why this is. Texas is a state I've never seen anything like it. They have more double winners than any place I've ever seen, and that's what they call them. And the double winner is that you're in the program of AA and Al-Anon. In the Texas Man-to-Man Conference that they have down there, it is all men, but it's AA and it's Al-Anon. And they'll have two AA speakers and an Al-Anon speaker. And I'm telling you, they must, you know, they'll have 25% of the people there are double winners, you know, and I just... it's not the way around our area at home, but, you know, Texas for some reason is big about that. So I just wanted to say that any of you have contact with Al-Anon or you're in Al-Anon, I mean, I think it can only certainly add to the deal, and I'd certainly encourage everybody to do that. You know, just talk a little bit about the end-all and the be-all, you know, the 12th step. And I really say that because, you know, I think a lot of people missed the boat on what the 12th step was all about. In other words, what's happening around our area, it seems to me, is people are going through the steps as a process. But what's behind it all is I want to go through this to get well enough to get back out there in the world and compete and be a part of the world. That's what this is really all about, isn't it? The reason I'm going through these steps is so I can go out there and be a part of. And the answer is yes, but no. Read the 12th step. It says you only went through the first 11 for one reason, so that now you are capable of carrying this message, having had the spiritual awakening, to another alcoholic, and then practice these principles in all your affairs. And this is, again, back to the primary purpose, as you were talking about with Tom I. Somewhere along the line in our fellowship, we've lost the focus on helping another alcoholic. You know, we're helping our sister-in-law, we're helping the people at church, we're helping everybody but an alcoholic. You know, and it goes back to my story I shared about my friend Chris who killed himself. Big brothers, great deal. Helped those little kids, and I'm sure they were very grateful. But the 12 steps were designed to make sure we understood one thing. God only got you better for one reason, so you are now able to help another one of your own kind. You know, and I really think that's important, and I really emphasize that, because the guys I sponsor, you know, I don't know if you've heard this before, they'll come up with, oh, well, you know, I'm not the sponsoring type. Tim, that's your thing. You're good at it. You know, what do you mean I'm good at it? Sponsorship is simply about carrying what's been given to me to the next guy. Anybody should be and can be able to do that. Follow what I'm saying? In other words, and that's the whole idea. If I don't see that my responsibility now is to sponsor other people the way I've been sponsored, to carry the same step process to the next guy the same way it was given to me, then I'm breaking the chain that was started over 70 years ago that these two guys, Bill and Bob, started. You know, and I just say this because around our area, what's happening, because it has become a process, because these guys are going through these treatment centers and being taught this process of recovery dynamics, when they come out of it, their idea is, now, I'm ready, I'm going back in the world, I'm going to get a job, get a girlfriend, you know, and be somebody. I'm saying, wait a minute, what about helping the next guy? You know, that is it. That's the end all and be all. All right. And I go back to my hospice story. You know, and my sponsor hurt my feelings. But what he was trying to say is, Tim, you know, helping cancer patients is good, but you're a drunk. And in the code that they gave you, this formula that you just went all the way through, it culminates. What seals the deal, you know, is the 12th step. It seals the deal. Let me tell you, here's what I know about the 12th step. You know, if you really practice the 12th step, you work with a lot of guys, you sponsor a lot of guys, it's going to work whether you like it or not. All right? And here's how this works for me. I mean, I sponsor, I don't know, 30, 35 guys probably. You know, probably more than that call me their sponsor. I have this, we talk about this disorder with the ego. They talk about my feelings, thoughts, and beliefs. And some days, I just have a bad day. Some days, you know, things didn't go well for little Timmy. And some days, I just want to go home, get away from everybody, and just sit there and think about it a little bit. I mean, I deserve that, right? I deserve how the thing didn't go right, the sale didn't go right today, people in my work didn't act right today. And I will go home, and I'm determined to do that. But you know what happens? Phone rings. This idiot that I sponsor's on the other end of the phone. And he's saying, Tim, she's going to leave me. And I have to stop thinking about what I'm thinking about me, and I got to listen to this guy, and I have got to give him the response that they gave me when I was calling doing the same thing. And you know what happens? When I hang up the phone, I have forgotten what it was that was so upsetting to me. I can't tell you how much on a daily basis, you know, that happens. And you see, people got this all wrong. I mean, I said this the other day. When people ask me, how many people do you sponsor? I say, well, evidently just the right number. Because I am sober and I've got a good life. See, because the deal is, I don't know what the number is. Here's what I do know is that my disorder of the ego, my manifestation of self is so great that without constant investment in other people's lives and taking my time to put it into your life, I don't have much of a chance. And you see, that's why I love the old timers. That's all those old guys knew, man. That's all they knew. They didn't know anything about all this we've talked about this weekend in many ways, but they knew this. If they invested their energy and time in another alcoholic, they somehow stayed sober and their lives got better, you know? And I say that because all of these years, you know, we've gotten so sophisticated, it always circles back to the basics. And we talk again about a guy like Tom Ivester, 52 years sober. And he probably sponsors 50 guys. And he probably does 40 weekends a year carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And the man is serene and sober. And what I have to assume is that he doesn't do that because he just wants to be a good guy. He does that because they said, here's the end of this process that we just brought you through. This is what seals the deal. This is what will keep you in the loop of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and I really say that because, you know, I really work with the guys. I'm only working with you for one reason, so we can get you through these steps, so then you will then be willing and able and capable to carry this message to the next guy. And you know what? That's the bottom line. You know, I've been around here long enough, and you listen to a lot of different people. I'm sure you guys listen to a lot of different people. And I remember around Louisville the first time, I would listen to guys that I thought were, you know, had it going on. You know, and they had a lot of sobriety, but they were different. In other words, their styles were a little bit different, but there was always one common element. And the common element was this. They all worked with a lot of other alcoholics, you know. And I just say that because here's what's happened a lot today, too, is that, you know, we're skipping right over that first part of the 12th step to the second part. I'm supposed to practice the principles in all my affairs. And, you know, my focus immediately becomes my home, my work, and you know, really, all that's important, no doubt about it. But what about the first part of the 12th step? It's the first part for a reason. Okay? And I say that because here's the thing. When I came into the program, and I talked to a lot of you this week, I mean, my butt was on fire. I owed people money. There was lawyers after me. There was, you know, legal people after me. I mean, it was just a mess. And I couldn't keep a focus. And I would go to these guys and I would say, all right, Blair, listen, you know, I owe this $250,000. These people are calling me and then you'd give me some type of answer. Well, okay, Tim, why don't you, why don't you stay after the meeting, see that guy over there, why don't you give him a ride home? And I'd be thinking, did you hear what I said, Blair? And then I'd go, let me tell you about this insane woman who's divorcing me. I mean, this is awful. I'm living in a basement. She's got my house. She took it. I can't even get back in there. I'm going nuts. I'm full of stressful. What do you think, you know, Mark? And Tim, you know, why don't you stay afterwards and pick up those chairs over there? And when you're done with that, you know, give this guy a ride home. And I always think, did you hear what I said? I mean, I was constantly getting these answers that made no sense, all right? But they make all the sense in the world. What they were saying is, Tim, we can't do a thing about that crazy marriage of yours, and we can't get $250,000 for you. But what it says is, you work with the next alcoholic, it'll all work out sooner or later. You see? You know, and I hate, you know, when people come to me, and this happens this weekend. I've already talked to a number of you who got those situations going with your marriage or whatnot, and you go, Tim, what you gotta do? And I said, well, go back to your home group and find a drunk to work with. I wish I could give you something better, but that is the answer. That will always be the answer, you know, for guys like you and me, you know. And then the deal was, they said, if you will do that, then we'll promise you the second part of the 12-step, carrying the principles, you know, in all your affairs, over time, if you're willing to continue to share with other alcoholics, you will find out, you will figure out how to do that. Probably, however, you're going to fall on your nose, you know, 3 or 4 times in all those areas of your life, before you ever really grow up and learn how to do it. You know, we were talking the other day, and you guys are pretty mature in terms of your sobriety, with the exception of a few, but, you know. I didn't say that right, did I? I really meant we got some long-term sobriety in here, but the point is that if we were really honest with people when they showed up, you know, we can't tell them this, right? We can't tell them that, look, the real deal here is that, you know, you got to get sober and you probably have to change everything about you. You know, that's really the truth. Now, we're not going to tell you that when you show up because you'll probably leave, but we just tell you when you show up, just don't drink. But the truth is, if you showed up like I did, you have no skills for living, you have no tools, you're going to have to learn to be a man. You're going to have to learn to be a husband. You're going to have to learn how to be a friend. You're going to have to learn how to be an employee, you know, because I didn't know how to do any of that. I can say that 42 years old when I showed up here. And over the last 19 and a half years, by coming back to you guys and talking about relationships and talking about, you know, work, I've learned a little bit more about how a sober man does life. You know, that's the simple message that I need to tell you. That's as good as it's been for me. In the meantime, over the last 19 and a half years, what's the bottom line? I've helped drunks. You know, that was the one thing, despite all the travesty that you heard over 19 and a half years, the divorces, the sanity with the airport, all the things that I'm not so proud of, the one constant was I never quit working with alcoholics. And you see, that is always going to be the bottom line, you know, and that's the most simplest thing, and yet, it's the thing, and if you listen to Tom Ivester and people who've been around for a long time, it's the least emphasized part of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous anymore. You know, that part of it somehow has gotten taken out of the equation. And somehow we've assumed that whole 12-step process is somebody else's responsibility. It's taking place in the treatment center. It's taking place in the hospital. We just got to hold these guys' hands, and there's nothing farther from the truth, you know. So if there's any message, you know, that you guys can leave here with this weekend, you know, is that we are members of Alcoholics Anonymous, which means we help alcoholics, you know, and I really, you know, you can go home and get involved with your church and the Little League and all that good stuff, and I think that's all good, you know, and it's all good for me. But I can only do that because of my sobriety, and my sobriety hinges on this whole idea of carrying a message to another alcoholic. The other thing I think is key about that, you know, what it says is that we carry the message. You know, it doesn't say we deliver the message. It doesn't say we teach the message. And it doesn't say we preach the message. And down Mount Rightway, we got all that going on, right? It says we carry the message, which is I carry, as I've tried to hope to do this weekend. Meaning, what I realize when I show up to a place like this, I don't have anything new to give you guys, right? I mean, over some of you have been here 20 years, you've heard from some of the, you know, my heroes in Alcoholics Anonymous. Most of you have done the big book. A lot of you, almost all of you have done the steps. You know, there's nothing new there. All I can ever bring is my own, you know, experience, strength, and hope. I can only carry the message as it's evolved in my life, you know, and that's all I'll ever be able to do. And I say that because we have a lot of other stuff going on. We got a lot of people today who have gotten into teaching the message, who've got into preaching the message. Down in my home group, we get a lot of preaching going on down there. And I need to remember, it is attraction, not promotion. You know, it always will be attraction, not promotion. Again, when I go back to my work thing, I never told anybody that I was in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. But they all knew something was different. They all knew that the boss wasn't as crazy as he used to be. And they all knew that, as my son said to me that one time, that I was helping other people. That's all he knew. But that was enough, okay? That was enough to change his perception of me. And it was enough when he needed help to know that where to come to. You know, and that isn't that the bottom line. You know, we were all talking about kids last night and where your kids are. And, you know, what I found out with my daughter is that, you know, I can no more affect or change her because I was her daddy than the next guy. But the deal was, she had lived with me when I got sober. And she knew that, you know, I was different. And the attraction of what was going on in my life, when her time came, then that seed had been planted that she knew where to go, you know. And when she talks today in Alcoholics Anonymous, I go out for her birthday, and I cry every time she gets up, because she always says, you know, in all honesty, if my daddy had not been sober, you know, I would not be here tonight, and I would probably be dead, you know. And I just, you know, it just, and whether that's true or not, I don't know. But what the message was is that what she's saying is the attraction of my dad getting sober was there. And when her moment of crisis came, there was some seed had been planted, you know. And that's what I'm saying. You've heard this many times. You know, you never know, you know, what's your sobriety and who is affecting. And you may be the only big book that some people ever see, you know. And I really take that seriously, you know. Because when we're talking about this in all of my affairs, you know, I work at that hard, because what I come to realize, whether I like it or not, or whether any of us like it or not, we become the model of what this program is supposed to be about, you know? I mean, it would have been awful for me, for example, when I was charging that, you know, the gate at the airport, to have somebody say, hey, isn't that guy an AA? You know, because unfortunately what happens is that, you know, people over time, you know, and we know the damage it's done when people, you know, act out. You know, we know what happened when anonymity is broken, you know, with these stars and whatnot. And so it's a responsibility that we carry, you know, in my actions every day. And, you know, and one of the things, for example, the guideline that my sponsor gave for me on this, practicing the principles in all my affairs, when I'm trying to make a decision about, you know, these principles and how something would look, he always says, Tim, well, think about it this way. You know, what you're thinking about doing, would you be okay with that if it's on the front page of the newspaper tomorrow morning? If you're okay with that, then go ahead. It'd probably be all right. If you're not okay with that, then you might want to look at your action you're about ready to take. Now think about that, you know. And obviously, there's many, many things, obviously, I would not be willing to do to have on the front page of the newspaper the next morning. And it's a guiding thing of me continually trying to understand that, you know, the responsibility now of being a sober person. You know, I'll just say this, and because my sponsor, when I got here, you know, I was kind of rough as a cob, and you know, I'd gotten used to using real bad coarse language, you know, with this street stuff, and grew up with it in the locker rooms and stuff like that. And I noticed immediately that this guy, my sponsor, I mean, he did not do that at all. You know, he might say shoot once in a while or something like that, or heck, or and I thought, man, you know, and I talked to him about it one day, and you know, it's real important to him, he said, is that, you know, when he he wanted to clean up his life, then he thought, you know, cleaning up his language might be something to do that. Because again, in modeling, you know, what recovery is supposed to be, and modeling what Alcoholics Anonymous is that, you know, he really worked on doing it. And I've tried to do that in my life, and I'm by no means perfect at it. And again, left to default position, you know, I go back to all that I know, and it goes back to the same language that I grew up with. But my point is that, you know, the responsibilities as we go forward with recovery, are there, you know, and I'm okay with that, you know, because if it is all about attraction, then what is it it's attractive about how I'm living? You know, if people in fact are attracted by watching what I do and what I say and how I handle myself, it goes back to the consultant thing. I don't like that I'm coming across in an adverse way to these employees, you know, and I need to look at that. I don't have to. I could basically say, you know, hey, tough. I'm the boss. I'll act the way I want to act, and they have to suck it up. That's the deal, you know. But it is important. I don't, as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, because they know I'm in recovery. They don't know what it's all about, but they know that, you know, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I participate in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I really try to work on that, because if it is about attraction, I want that attraction to be something that's attractive. You follow what I'm saying? And, you know, it's not all about being a goody two-shoes. I think it's all about, you know, understanding that this is about conversion. It is about transforming from one way of ugly life to something new. And I'm always open, you know, and that's back to what these types of things have been for me. I have only learned what I know to live today by, from other men in Alcoholics Anonymous, from the Tom Ivesters, from the guy that sponsors me, Don M. You know, what does a man do in this situation? You know, what does a sober person respond to in crisis? You know, all that type of thing, you know, it's just, it excites me, because the good news is I'm 61, but I'm still a kid. I'm still growing up. I still get to learn, you know, every day that I show up here, if I'm open-minded and willing to find out, you know. And see, that's the neat part about you guys. You know, the thing that makes this worthwhile for me, in all honesty, I'll be honest with you, I can't help but think, you know, why these guys want to listen to me all this time, you know. I wouldn't, you know. But you're so attentive, and you're so willing to find something new, you know. Now, whether I have it or don't is not the question. The question is, you're showing up. You're seekers. You're continuing to seek the higher ground, the higher level. And I don't know if you'll find anything this week or not. But see, what's happened to me over the time, I got out of my home group finally, and I started going to things like this. I started taking risks to get out of my comfort zone and talk to people in other meetings and go to places. 5 years into my sobriety, guys, what is amazing to me today, I'm in Vancouver. 2 weeks ago, I was in Ottawa. I went to Maui, Hawaii this year to speak, right? And you have to understand, 5 years in my sobriety, I had not been out of my home group. Didn't want to get out of my home group. Didn't need to get out of my home group. Didn't want to get any farther than that. I'm telling you the truth. And I had a cousin that's sober in St. Louis. And she called and invited me to a sober vacation. Of course, I was single, as usual, by that time. And she invited me to a sober vacation in Cancun, Mexico. I'm going, no, no way. She said, Tim, just do it. So somehow I gave in. And this is honest God true story. And I had to drive to Indianapolis, fly from Indianapolis to Cancun, Mexico. I got halfway to Indianapolis. It was snowing. I turned around, came back home. Called her on the phone and said, I'm not coming. She said, Tim, you've already paid for it. I said, it's okay. I'm still not coming. So she said, oh, come on. So I finally get in my car, go to Indianapolis, and I fly all the way to Cancun. Get to Cancun, find out, you know, I get there in the middle of the night, find out there's 600 people there, sober alcoholics, most of them from New York and California. Oh, no way. I mean, I am a lost ball. I spent the first 2 days there hiding in my cabin, right? I wouldn't come out because obviously I don't belong and I don't want to belong to these guys. Finally, through God's grace, you know, I got tired of staying in my room. I creeped out one afternoon. They had a men's meeting on the beach. I get into this circle, and sure enough, I look at the badges, California, California, New York City, and go, ah, man. So finally, I choked it up and said, guys, you know, I don't even know why I'm here. I'm from Kentucky, of all places, and my first time, and I don't know. And sure enough, two guys befriended me, you know, one from California, one from New York City. And here's what I'm saying. My world, all of a sudden, this little AA world that I was living in, got opened up, you know. And that week changed my life. Because what I realized was is that sobriety can be as big as you want it, or it can be as small as you want it. You just have to say yes. You just have to say, when they say, hey, would you go to the men's retreat this year? Yes, I will be there. Not, well, I don't know, let me see what's going on when it gets close, and I'll, if it works in, I'll see if I can get there. Make a choice for your sobriety. Make a choice to increase it. Here's the thing, the international. Well, I'd like to go. I just have to see what's going next July. Call and register and go. You see, I'm saying that because that was me. And as a result of that, I mean, like I said, I had to pinch myself sometimes that I have been so many places and my world has gotten so much bigger. Bobby's going. It's gotten so much bigger. And I say that to you guys, you know, don't, you know, and I know you're the type that'll do it because you're here. You made a commitment to come here and you could have stayed home this weekend. You're seekers. You're trying to find that next level. And you see, that's what makes this exciting. You know, as Wilson said, you know, there are 90, 95% of the people out there don't want it anymore. They're staying in their home group the rest of their life. That didn't work for me. And it will never work for me anymore because I know there's too much out here now. I know there's a bunch of hairy leg guys up in Vancouver that are really neat. And I want to make sure that I don't miss out on something like this. And you know what? So I just say yes. You know, from that point forward, when they say, will you go? Yes. Which brings me, you know, to this point about, you know, the balance in my calendar, for example. And people are asking me, well, how much do you do this? And, you know, a long time ago, I gave up trying to schedule my life, you know, and I got this from my sponsor. You know, I schedule my life based on how God schedules it. And it pretty much, if you looked at my calendar at work, you know, here's what you would say. I might have a business meeting at 8. I might have a third step at 9. You know, I have lunch with a guy in AA. I have a business meeting at 1. I might have a fifth step at 4. In other words, I was basically taught this. I just fill my schedule out as it happens. Whoever calls first goes on the schedule. That's not mine to do. When they call me and say, you know, will you come to Vancouver? I look there. If it's open, yes. You know, now assuming it's open, meaning with my family obligations and things like that. That's not my business. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know who God wants me to help. You know, I have no idea. My job is to say yes and to suit up and to show up and to be present and let Him design all that. And I tell you, as crazy as that may sound, you know, I've adopted that kind of way of living. I have more joy and more freedom in my life than I ever thought I could. And you know, I just want to wrap this thing up that, you know, they're really today, more than anything else, it's just that willingness, you know, that I talked about. The first little gift that God gave me in Alcoholics Anonymous was just a little crack of willingness one day to maybe give this thing a chance, to maybe listen to you guys, that maybe you had something that, you know, that I couldn't understand at the time, but it had to be better than what I had, you know. And I continue to ask God, you know, that willingness as I go on. You know, it's about 10:30, guys, and like I said, I love talking about Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, we could, you know, I know Tom talked about the traditions. I'll just say this about the traditions. You know, I'm at a traditions meeting that I go to every Sunday morning, actually, at this time. And I hated it when it first started out because I thought it had nothing to do with recovery. And now I know that their traditions might be the greatest miracle in Alcoholics Anonymous. Because without the traditions, this thing would have never, ever lasted. We certainly would have imploded a long time ago. So if you're not about the traditions or you haven't spent much time on those, I also encourage you to take a close look at those. And what you will find, as I know Tom talked about it, there's so much in those traditions that I've been able to adapt to my personal living. you know, like being self-supportive through my own contributions, you know. Very important. Very important not only to our society as a whole, but to me individually and to people getting better, you know, being self-supporting through their own contributions. But anyway, you know, I encourage you to do that. And like I said, I sincerely, sincerely hope that, you know, our paths will cross again. I don't know how to say it other than, you know, I hope somebody has gotten something this weekend. You know, I really do. I know this, that I will go back, you know, filled up again. You know, I will hate the airline flight. I'll hate getting back 14 hours to get back home. But see, the richness that I take back, you know, you just can't explain to people. You can't tell people what this is all about. You can't talk to people about the energy that you received from 100 guys in Canada over one given weekend. And you see, that's why I never want to forget to say yes, and I never want to forget, you know, that, you know, there's as much here, you know, as I could ever, ever want. But it's up to me and it's up to you to just say yes. So I hope we will see a lot of you down in San Antonio. I hope to see some of you, hear from some of you on the email. And from the bottom of my heart, thanks so much. Yeah, I love each of you guys, and thanks for putting up with me this weekend. Thanks.